Hi, everyone. I wanted to start out today with a quick shout out to Matron Saint, a super chic maternity line that wants to revolutionize the way you dress as you embark on motherhood. Their clothes are simple, stylish, and comfortable. Use the code PYC20 when you check out for 20% off your order. Now I want to ask you, my listeners, for a shout out. Rate and review Yoga Birth Babies on iTunes or Stitcher, and follow PYC and Matron Saint on Instagram for your chance to win a $100 gift card from Matron Saint. Email a screenshot of your review and your handle to info@prenatalyogacenter.com. Thanks for listening. Hi, everyone. I'm Deb Flaschenberg. Welcome to Yoga, Birth, Babies, a podcast produced by Prenatal Yoga Center. We will be diving into everything prenatal yoga, birth, and baby-related, hoping to inspire, educate, and empower you through your journey into motherhood. Thank you for listening. For my yoga teacher friends who are interested in working with the pregnant population, Prenatal Yoga Center offers an 85-hour Yoga Alliance certified program based on our three-pronged theory of prenatal yoga: asana, education, and community. Once a year, we hold our three-month immersion program in New York City. For those who cannot attend this training, Caprice and I are now traveling to different locations holding our training at hosting studios where we will spend 6 days working together, exploring and learning about prenatal yoga. This training consists of more than 50 hours working together. We also created a whole membership website with more than 20 videos corresponding directly to the manual you will receive. For more information, check out our website at prenatalyogacenter.com. Hope to work with you soon. Take care. Hi, everyone. I'm Deb Flaschenberg, and I'm your host for Yoga Birth Babies. And today we're going to explore new motherhood. So we have Chantal Etter with us today, and she just finished our prenatal yoga teacher training. So she's obviously a yoga teacher. But what was really special about that was during our training, she was pregnant. So, and now she's just had her baby, and I tracked her down in this wild new motherhood, and I asked her to come on and talk about new motherhood. And what she was so great about saying right before we started recording was that there's a lot that she wished someone had told her. So how wonderful that we have Chantal just telling you a little bit about her experience. But let me tell you first a little bit more about Chantal.
Chantal Etter started taking yoga classes at a young age, nearly 20 years ago, thanks to her mom, who teaches Iyengar yoga in Canada. While her practice was a bit touch and go for a while, the last 5 years she's had a daily practice of meditation and continuing her studies and training. She has recently gotten her prenatal and postnatal certification through Prenatal Yoga Center. She's also trained at the Yoga Union Back Care and Scoliosis Certification with Allison West, which is a 100-hour training. She's also done the Breathing Project Embodied Anatomy Training with Amy Matthews and a 200-hour training at Yoga Union Three Pillars of Yoga with Allison West. And most recently, Chantal has had a little baby boy. Let's welcome Chantal.
Hi, Chantal. Welcome.
Hey.
How are you?
I'm good. I've got a sleeping baby on me right now. So if it, you might hear a cry.
Well, that is motherhood. So how long have you been up so far?
Oh, he's pretty good. He wakes up about 6 a.m. And he started just with one wake up recently. So I'm getting some sleep again.
Yay. That makes all the difference. So let's jump in a little bit, kind of backtrack before we get into motherhood. Let's talk a little bit about your pregnancy. So how would you describe that?
I think I was really fortunate. I had a really, really good pregnancy. And I think it helped that I absolutely loved being pregnant. I know some people don't, but I absolutely loved it. I loved every step of the way. I did a lot of meditation with him in my tummy. I was very active, doing a lot of yoga right up until the day before I went into labor. And I had very few ailments and symptoms really up until maybe the last couple of months. I got the carpal tunnel. I got the swollen feet and the swollen hands. You know, it was summer, it was getting hot. But other than that, I had a pretty easy pregnancy. So I loved it.
Oh, that's good. And how did you approach learning about your pregnancy, birth, and motherhood?
Well, I'm very much a person that wants to know everything that is going to happen to my body, and everything that's going to happen so I can probably over-prepare. So I read a lot of books. I talked to my mom and my husband's mom about their pregnancies to see if there were going to be any similarities, anything to look out for. They weren't as helpful because they seemed to have forgotten everything. But yeah, definitely reading a lot of books, and then of course taking the prenatal teacher training, which gave me an incredible amount of information to work with and to explore, and sitting in on the childbirth education. I took a breastfeeding course. I took an infant CPR course, and made a couple of friends that were also pregnant at the same time. So we shared a lot of information that way. So that was pregnancy and birth. In terms of motherhood, I honestly probably should have prepared more, because I feel like I was really prepared for birth and pregnancy. But I hadn't read anything about motherhood. I hadn't read anything about, well, even once the baby's out, the different stages they go through. You know, you hear the standard, you're going to be exhausted, it's really hard work. And I was like, okay, yeah. But there are little things that I, you know, I wish I would have known.
Can you expand on that? Like, what were some of the things that you wish someone had told you beforehand?
Well, I think when my mom was just here and she said, you know, take everything 2 months at a time. And I would probably break that down to, in the hospital, I would take everything 2 hours at a time, because that was my first experience breastfeeding. You know, it's nothing like the course prepares you, and the books, well, the course and the books give you an idea. They don't prepare you for what that's going to be like. And they don't, and your body, the feeling in your body changes every 2 hours. So in the hospital, I would take everything 2 hours at a time. Once you're home from the hospital for the first 2 weeks, I would take everything 2 days at a time, because you're still learning, everything's still changing, and it probably takes a couple of weeks to just not completely settle, but get into a little bit of a rhythm of doing a few things a certain way. And then after 2 weeks, I would take everything 2 weeks at a time. And I think probably, I don't know when it's going to change into 2 months, maybe at 12 weeks, because he's going to be 9 weeks this week. And it seems like he's napping more, he's sleeping more, breastfeeding has finally got easier. And so I think probably around 12 weeks, we'll get to the 2 months. But just knowing 2 hours at a time, 2 days at a time, 2 weeks at a time, would have helped, because I think when you're in the midst of your first meltdown about something, it's really nice to know that there's a light at the end of the tunnel. It's not forever.
But it feels that way. I remember a few times having to give myself, you know me, I'm all about mantras. I literally like talk myself through like, this too shall end. Like when you've tried everything you know to calm your child and it's not working. For me, I then had my own personal meltdown with the crying baby, and I had to get into my own head being like, this will end, because it's hard when you're that sleep deprived and
yeah,
it's so new, you know, like you get, all of a sudden you have this baby and they're like, okay, go home now with this baby.
Yeah. And there's, you know, I hadn't really changed diapers. I'd never given a baby a bath. You know, I'd never breastfed, all these things being a first time mom that you can read about, but until you're actually doing, oh my goodness, it's so overwhelming. And to be honest, New York City isn't the easiest city to calm the nerves.
That's so, a little loud.
So, you know, going out to the pediatrician 2 days after you get home, and then, you know, if the weight's not right, you have to go back 2 days later. So you're out, you know, Midtown Manhattan, just after you've given birth, and your nerves are all over the place, and you're like, I just want to be at home.
Absolutely. Yeah, it's, you know, New York has its own special qualities that way. So If you don't mind sharing, how, let's first talk about how was your birth different than you envisioned it? And then would you mind sharing your birth story? Like, what did you envision your birth to be?
Well, I guess everyone, you know, I had a doula and I went with a midwife because I wanted an unmedicated birth and I didn't want to be in a hospital setting. So I chose a midwife who was associated with the birthing center at Mount Sinai West because I liked the idea of, you know, taking my time, getting to any position I wanted, using the bath, you know, having a labor playlist and, you know, making a little sacred space and all that stuff. Every time someone mentioned a birth plan, I kind of thought, okay, I'll write certain things down, you know, like delayed cord clamping. And if I do have to have a cesarean, you know, have my husband go with the baby and gentleman and stuff like that. And that was all worth it. But in my mind, I actually couldn't envisage it, which was one of the things that I said to my husband when we went to the birthing center. I just looked around and I was like, I can't picture myself here, like, at all. And everyone was saying, oh, well, you know, you can't picture your birth because it's a completely different experience to what you're going to expect anyway. So I kind of put that out of my mind. I just tried to control to a point what I could in terms of having the unmedicated route. And then obviously it was completely different to everything that I had planned other than the unmedicated bit. Because I ended up giving birth in a New York City taxi. So, yeah, I think preparing for birth in terms of learning about the stages of labor really helped. And I definitely went through all of those, but quite quickly. I mean, the birth stories, I don't know where you want me to start.
Yeah. So, okay. So I can hear like the auditory of our whole community upon the I gave birth in a New York City taxi, because that is most people's biggest fear. Now, I know you, and I know that you, like, you're very organized. And I wouldn't say controlling, but I know that you like to have things, you know, set up. So let's back up to the beginning of the birth story. You started feeling contractions. Where were you? What happened?
Yeah, well, so on my due date, I had an appointment with the midwife and we went in the morning and she said, well, you're 1 centimeter dilated and you have a posterior cervix and maybe you'll go into labor this weekend, but if not, let's, you know, make an appointment to sweep the membranes on Monday and you need to make an appointment for an ultrasound for your 41-week scan to make sure you consult all the birthing center.
This is why I'm just going to pause. I'm going to totally interrupt you, but this is one of my biggest pet peeves. And you've heard me, I know you've heard me say this, that vaginal exams before the onset of labor gives you absolutely no information because you're a perfect example of them saying, it's posterior, it's only 1 centimeter, maybe in a few days, probably next week. And then other people that walk around at 3 centimeters could still have a whole nother week. It gives you no information. So thank you for pausing for my rant. but that's just a great example. Like, it doesn't give you anything, and it probably didn't prepare you for the fact that very soon you'd be in a very fast labor.
Yeah, no, I mean, the midwife's like, well, but you never know. It could happen anytime. But after you get that information, yeah, I got a bit sad. I was like, well, darn, you know, I know that people go past their due date all the time, but I probably, like everyone else, felt like he would be a bit earlier. And I was saying, I went to get acupuncture the day before and the acupuncturist, well, he's very high, you know, we need to come back and you need to do acupuncture again and acupressure. And I was like, wow. So no one, you know, everyone thinks I've still got a while to go. So I walked home and I had gotten into the habit of just walking the crap out of myself to try and get the baby out. So I was walking like 40 blocks.
Oh, goodness.
So I walked all the way home. I stopped, I think it's Starbucks, and like just sat there and got a coffee and I think I just sat for 2 hours just thinking or mindlessly scrolling through my phone because I just didn't know what to do with myself on the due date. I went and got a cookie. I went and got my eyebrows threaded. And the woman was like, what are you doing? I'm like, when do you do? I'm like, today. She's like, and you're getting your eyebrows threaded? I'm like, I have no idea what else to do with myself.
Well, you also probably wouldn't for a while anyway after that.
Yeah, I know. So I went home. And because the baby wasn't born yet, my husband obviously was still working. He went into work that day and he ended up having to go out for dinner, a work dinner. And I felt pretty tired. I had a big cry. I wrote in my journal. My doula sent me a really nice article about, you know, getting called forth into motherhood in this in-between period, which actually made me think, not so much that I was waiting to be called forth, but it made me realize that actually I was going to be really sad not to be pregnant anymore. So I processed that a little bit and I had a little kind of letting go session meditation for myself that I was done with the pregnancy. And as much as I was going to miss me and him as this unit of one, you know, he was ready to come and be free and be his own person whenever he wanted. And that really helped me and that calmed me down and I got really tired and I thought it was just because of all the emotion of the day, but I ended up going to bed at like 6 o'clock and just laying there. And my husband came home about 10. And he was telling me about his day and I felt this little twinge, which was new. I was like, oh, is that a contraction? Like I've never felt it before, but it was like a little twinge. Like, okay. I let him know. And I was like, well, let's just go to bed. You know, like everyone says, if they start at night, go to bed. So I went to bed. And about 12:40, I got a bigger one. And I was like, okay, well, try and go back to sleep, which I obviously couldn't. But I laid there for about an hour. And then another big one came. And I was like, well, these are just, what is this? Is this just because I had a cervical exam this morning that something's happening? Or is this actually, am I actually going into labor? Because I was getting one an hour. But I stayed up. And one came again an hour later and it was really strong. And at that point, my husband woke up because I was just walking around the house and this was about 2:45. And I was like, I think this is happening. They're not regular yet. So, you know, you're told to call the midwife when they become they're regular for an hour. But they never really got regular until a bit later on. So they got stronger. I maybe had three in that hour. And then they got stronger again. So by 4, we were like, well, let's be considerate. Let's wait till 5 to call everyone. Because they're not regular and other people can sleep. I don't know why we decided to do that. But by that point, noises started to come out of me that were unfamiliar. And around 4:30, I was like, okay, we need to call someone because this is happening. Called the midwife and she was like, okay, well, you're going to be laboring at home for a really long time. And we were like, okay. She heard me go through a contraction. She said, why don't you call your doula now? So we called the doula. The doula heard me go through a contraction. And we said, well, we'll call you back in half an hour. This is about 5. And then they started to pick up. And Mark called the doula back in half an hour. And he was like, where are you? She's like, I'm on the way. Like, I heard your contractions and I need to be there now.
Good doula.
And by the time she got here, I was in that zone where I didn't know what was going on around me. Like, all of a sudden, the straw was coming in with, you know, coconut water. I felt some pressure on my back. But me and Mark really, we had found that, you know, like Penny Simpkin said, we had found the rhythm and the ritual already, which was really, really helpful. And then at a certain point, they were so strong, Mark couldn't even call the midwife anymore. So the doula was calling the midwife and she suggested getting in the bath. And I was like, are you kidding me? Because I feel like, I was questioning myself at that time, like, am I weak? Is this what everyone goes through? Or like, where am I at this point? Because these feel really, really strong and getting in the bath doesn't sound like it's going to help me at all. But I got in the bath, had the strongest contraction that I'd had so far, which just sent me backwards. And I was like, get me out of here. Got out of the bath, carried on with the contractions had changed again. By the time the doula had got there, I'd already thrown up. She was like, good. I was like, well, I read that this happens like in transition. Like, should we be doing something different now? But we carried on, and probably around, I don't know, 6:30 or 7, the doula said to the midwife, like, we need to come in, I think. You know, like, they're getting really strong. And the midwife's like, give me 45, or give me an hour. And she's like, I think we maybe 40, can you do 45 minutes? And at 7:45 or 7:40, Mark called an Uber. And it arrived at, I think, 7:55. And he said, hold on, my wife's in labor. We're going to be 5 minutes. Stood up, somehow they got me dressed, and obviously the change of gravity increased the contractions even more. So I had one getting dressed, I had one right before we left the apartment, and then the elevator doors open, and there were about six people in the elevator because it's time to go to work. And my husband's like, she's in labor. And they, you know, New York, they just backed up. Come on in. Had a huge contraction in the elevator, probably scared the crap out of everyone that was in.
That's fine.
Got downstairs, the Uber had left. Within 5 minutes, he had just left. The doorman was like, we need an ambulance. Mark's like, just go get a taxi. And at that point, the contraction waiting for the taxi, I was like, something's changing again. Like this must be transition or something's going on because I feel such a big pressure. Got into the taxi. I couldn't sit down. Mark got in one side. I got in the other. I had one knee on the seat, 1 foot on the floor. And at that point, I think it felt like they were coming every minute or two, like really, really fast. And I think we were driving and I'm like, I don't know if we're going to make it. I don't know if we're going to make it. At one point I was like, where are we? They said Central Park, you know, I'm like, this, it's too far. It's too far. They're like, no, we can see the hospital. And I kept reaching down because I just felt something. But at the same point in the back of my head, I was like, if I get to the hospital and they tell me I'm 4 centimeters, I'm going to lose it. but I kept reaching down. And then finally they were like, no, we're almost there. I can see the hospital. I'm like, he's coming out. I can feel his head. The doula was in the front seat. Mark was like, they were like, no, he's not. And I took down my shorts and his head was coming out. And then I saw his face. And then I think at that point we had pulled up to emergency, and Mark was, it was terrifying because Mark was screaming, he's blue. He's blue. He's not breathing. I'd never heard my husband in that much, you know, distress before.
Was he out at this point or is he still?
His head was out.
Okay.
And then his shoulder came out. And then at that point, I don't know what came over me, but I looked for the cord around his neck. There was no cord. And I pulled him out and I pulled him up onto my chest. And I just waited and I, you know, looking at him, like the doula was beside me, like, is he okay? Is he okay? And then he did a little cough and then he started crying. And then it was just, I think I felt the biggest wave of relief in my life. I just burst into tears. And then we were surrounded by, I think it was the FDNY, the fire department was there first. This guy in aviators and got Mark to cut the cord with a scalpel still in the back of the cab. They took him out in this tin foil, put me in a bed. There were like, I don't know, maybe 15 to 20 people around, like cheering and clapping and nurses, because I think it had gone through the PA system, like the doula ran to get help, and I think everyone came out. And and then we got wheeled in, but it was pretty traumatic, exciting, unique, and I'm so glad that Joseph knew what he was doing, because if he was in any other position, you know, it would have been bad. But it was it all worked out, and we got wheeled into the birthing center. And I think if it would have ended there, I think I would have been able to process the birth a bit faster. But then my placenta wouldn't come out. It got stuck. So luckily, you know, we got skin to skin. We got the first latch, but then I had to go into the OR. And even though I had the birth unmedicated and I didn't tear during, you know, when he came out, I had to get a spinal. I had to get Pitocin. I had to get a relaxant. And then they tore me taking my placenta. So, because it was right at the top, right, the fundus. And I could, even though I was medicated, I could feel her ripping it out. So that was really unpleasant after that. And we were probably separated for 4 or 5 hours. But everything's good now. So how, yeah, I can look back on it now and say, what a great birth he had.
Well, two things. One, if his position wasn't ideal, it wouldn't have been so quick.
No.
So that's good to know that, like, you know, I've always said it's those malpositioned babies that have the long births, but I know you worked incredibly hard to have optimal fetal position, which clearly you did. 'Cause he, you know, when they're perfectly positioned, that's what makes these very functional births. So can you talk a little bit about how you process this? Because granted, your birth is different. You know, I hear hundreds of births, thousands of births. Yours is definitely on the bell-shaped curve, more of the exotic type. Like, it just doesn't really happen as much. But no matter, even though you gave birth in a cab, there is still some trauma that you sound like you experienced, which I do think others can relate to. They may not be able to relate to birthing in a cab, but they can relate to feeling slightly traumatized after or frightened. How did you process that? Do you mind talking about that?
I think it took quite a while to process, probably about 5 weeks, and my husband and I had to process it together because, you know, I had the unmedicated birth I wanted, tick. I actually didn't really want to give birth, go through triage. That was one of the things that I was nervous about because, you know, it changes your rhythm, tick, fine. But I didn't come out of that birth going, wow, I feel so empowered, you know, like a lot of women say, I feel so empowered. That was amazing. I didn't. I was like, that was really freaking hard. That was really intense, really fast. And my body went into shock and didn't let go of the placenta. I journaled since I was like 10 years old. So I did a lot of writing. I kind of wrote it out over and over. And I was really lucky that my husband took 5 weeks off vacation. And it was really good to have someone there at all points to kind of talk about it with. And him and I took a minute and we recorded it together. Just, we went through step by step, the birth story, everything that happened, and how we were both feeling at that point in each kind of stage. Because we, you know, I don't know if he thought he would be my main support. I think I was teetering back and forth. You know, at first I thought it would be the doula, and then I thought it would be him. And he ended up, you know, being the biggest support I've ever had in my life. And I think that was one of the reasons why the baby came so fast, because we found such a strong rhythm and ritual, and I felt safe. But we did a lot of writing. We did a lot of talking, and, you know, I had a lot of sleepless nights with various things popping up into my head. I think the last thing I processed was the separation from going into the OR and then going into recovery and being alone for the first time in 10 months with no one around. And I had a panic attack, and it felt horrible. And I realized, I think 2 or 3 weeks in, I haven't even kissed his bum, because I held him naked when he first came out of me, but everything has been so quick. You know, you have to start breastfeeding and then go to the pediatrician and then, you know, figure everything. And then I just, wait, hold on. I need to take a minute and pause here and like be with my baby. So I got him naked and like took some photos and held his bum and kisses, you know, just, and I think that that was the last thing. But it was, for me, processing was just definitely talking about it over and over and over, and uncovering all the little bits that were, that I found traumatic or that I found problematic with it. And now I'm totally at ease with it. And I love that it happened that way.
I think that's amazing. I think, and I'm so, so happy you did that. I think oftentimes when women have a birth that's unexpected, how, you know, yours or just whether it's, they might feel it's traumatic, others might not see it that way. But when it gets pushed aside and invalidated by like, oh, well, as long as the baby's okay, that's diminishing what the mom went through. And then she almost feels like she doesn't have permission to process this. And in my opinion, that's just going to come up later in some other manner. Mm-hmm. Did you hear that from people?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, there were certain people I told that I thought would be the people to say, are you okay? But it was just like, oh, that's an amazing story. You know, the baby's okay, you're okay, everything's great. And I was like, well, I'm not okay, actually. I'm still processing this. It's, even though, you know, I did it unmedicated, I don't, like I said, I don't feel empowered. I'm scared to do it again. And I think I'm still scared to do it again because
you got a little time before you do it again.
Yeah, I know. But when we got in the car to bring him home, I had another panic attack because it was the first time I'd been in a car. I took my first New York taxi just 2 weeks ago because I kept looking at them going, no, don't want to get in one right yet. So, yeah, I wasn't okay at the beginning. So I was very thankful to have my husband understand that and to talk about it with me, because I just needed someone to talk to about that experience.
But I think it's brave, and I think part of that is you do have such a deep meditation practice that you gave yourself the space to say, I'm not okay, I need to process this, where a lot of people I think would have pushed that aside. So I think, you know, from my observation and my interpretation of the experience is that that really was, sounds like it was quite helpful that you had that personal insight to yourself.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think it really, I mean, it helped listening to, you know, a lot of your podcasts and reading a lot of birth stories. That was the other thing I did to prepare. I read a lot of birth stories, and some of them, you know, the women were honest saying it wasn't great. And I didn't like it. And even though it was exactly as I wanted, it was traumatic. And I think that women should be more open about that, because birth is an amazing thing, but it doesn't mean that you have to find it amazing. You can find it however you want. There shouldn't be such an expectation that it's such this beautiful, sacred, empowering moment. And if it is for you, that's incredible. But if it's not, that's okay too.
And should you decide to have another, just a suggestion from having worked with women, also having what I consider a bit of a traumatic first birth, long, completely on the opposite of yours, but still slightly traumatic. It took me a lot of emotional preparation to face my second one. And I see that a lot. So should you decide, you know, let's give a brother or sister to this little guy, I would just invite you to sit with what your fears are about approaching a second birth. I mean, granted, he's what, 10 weeks now. So again, as I mentioned, we got a little time before that. But I'm just offering from my own personal experience that being pregnant, I was super excited. But then when it was time to get ready for the birth, it actually terrified me. And I see that with women. So I'm just going to stick that in your back pocket for later.
Well, absolutely. And it's not like I've got the previous experience of it happening in a certain way that it's going to happen again. Right. You know, like, well, I made it to the birthing center. I made it to the hospital. There's certain things I can, you know,
check
expect.
Off your list. Yeah.
So it'll be a brand new experience all over again.
All right. So we're going to shift a little bit to now motherhood. So you and baby arrive home. And how does motherhood, how does it differ from what you envision to the reality?
Well, see, that's what I think I wish I would have thought a little bit more about the motherhood element of it, because you think, oh, a mother is someone who gives birth to a baby and takes care of it and raises it, you know? And then you start to, you know, and then you become one and you're like, wow, okay. What does it actually mean to be a mother? What does it feel like? Cause I still feel like me. I don't all of a sudden feel like a mom, but I have been given this most precious thing in the world to me. And I've become a protector and a provider. And I think I'm finding motherhood very empowering. So some people found birth, I'm finding motherhood very empowering. I feel like becoming a mother has made me, I don't know, tap into these powers, this energy that you might not think you have, because you have to dig down and find strength in a lot of moments to keep going, because you have to, you have no choice. And you become this protector of this tiny creature. And it's kind of indescribable, the love that, you know, everyone says it's a love like no other. And at first you're like, oh, okay, sure. But when you feel it, you're like, wow, this is incredible. This is something I've never felt. Because that love comes with so much more than anything else you've ever felt before. You know, you would jump in front of a car for this person, like without blinking, and you can say it, but until you feel it, it's completely different. But in terms of the actual physical day-to-day of being a mom and being prepared, I think I wish I would have read a little bit more about babies and how they work or don't work. Because there are a few things, like I said, I wish people would have told me. You know, I took the breastfeeding class. If you choose to breastfeed, it's really, really hard. And you hear about that all the time. But until you don't understand the type of hard it is. I took the breastfeeding class and, you know, the teacher said, well, if you have cracked nipples, the latch is wrong, right? So I got cracked nipples. And I was in so much pain and I was crying and they were dry and it hurt to feed. And I'm so glad my girlfriend said, don't worry, it happens to everyone. Put some breast milk on it, put some cream on it. They'll be gone in 48 hours. And at that point, you're like, there's no way this is going away in 48 hours. But it did. And that's why I was like, the 2 days, 48 hours, you know, the cracked nipples will go away in 48 hours. And then you just have to just take it hour by hour, day by day, with the things that change. So I wish someone would have kind of told me that. Just everything will kind of pass. I think the other, after breastfeeding, I got mastitis as well. So I had to go through that. And then I think my breakdown came when I decided to kind of check out what was going on down there. And I was like, and I could see my pelvic floor muscles and I could see things that I didn't expect to see. And I kind of reached out to my friends and I said, my friend said I had a baby. And I said, is this what it's supposed to look like? Or is this prolapse or what's going on? And I got the response, I didn't look. Or why would you look? And I was like, come on. Why haven't you looked? So at that point I thought I had prolapse, but apparently it's completely normal. So I wish someone would have told me that, you know what? I knew my vagina was never going to be the same, but if someone would have said, if you look down there, you're going to be in for a shock, but don't worry. It'll get better.
How'd you figure it wasn't prolapse? You didn't have that heaviness?
Well, I had my checkup with my midwife. Okay. Yeah. So, I mean, I could see my pelvic floor muscles. I could see a bulge. So I emailed my midwife and they said, it's probably your bladder. It's very common. Don't worry. And these things like, oh, okay. I didn't know it was common to just see my bladder. But it is. And I found out the amount of people that don't actually look. But, you know, there you go. Sorry, I've lost train of thought.
Oh, no. I actually am glad you mentioned that. I remember pulling a mirror out and looking and then doing some pelvic floor. I'm like, I can lift it. What is that? Oh, my God.
Yeah. I can see the muscles close and open.
Did you try to do that? I mean, some of our listeners will be like, what are you people talking about? Again, Chantal went through our training, and in our training, we talk a tremendous amount about pelvic floor health. So my little ears are quite giddy and happy to hear that she looked to see what was going on. So
I did. I thought at that point, like, if this was anyone else, I would be so interested because I'd be like, wow, I can see the pelvic floor muscles. But for me, I was like, oh my God, I'm falling. My insides are coming outside. You know, if that happens to you, it's normal.
Exactly. See, this is what this is about. It's telling people, we're kind of just pulling the curtain back and being like, what's really going on? So that kind of leads me into any physical struggles, because I know that you're a very active person. You have a really strong yoga practice. What were or are some struggles that you faced physically? Because I know during pregnancy and prior to pregnancy, you were really active. Because I know after baby, things shift and slow down before you can move back into what you once had for your practice.
Yeah, definitely now it's more of a mental practice for me because I can feel the energies in my body. I want to go for a run. I want to do a handstand. I want to do all these things, but I have to really listen to my body because my body's still going, no. You still need to work on your core muscles because they're not there anymore. You still need to work on your pelvic floor muscles because you don't want them to get any looser than they are. So I've had to take it really slow. And of course you don't have the time when you have a baby around. It's funny. You have more time in the first 6 weeks because they're sleeping more, but that's when you can't really do anything. And then it changes and they decide to not nap as soon as you can actually start to do some exercise. But, in the first 6 weeks, I did a lot of pranayama, and I actually did a lot while I was nursing because I felt that it helped with my struggles with nursing. It also helped to calm him down to feed. So I did a lot of breathing work and some meditation, and then just started with some shoulder opening for all of the tension that was sitting there. And now, you know, at between now 6 and 9 weeks, I've just started to do my standing poses again. I started doing them on a chair just to support my pelvic floor. And it's just discovering a new body. And it's, you know, I don't know if everyone goes through it, but it's a love-hate relationship because you love what your body's done. But having been so active before, you're like, will I ever fit into these clothes again, you know? And I have to keep thinking, it's only been 9 weeks. Give yourself a break, you know, take more time. And social media is poisonous when it comes to that kind of stuff. You know, you get CrossFitters going, oh, 9 days postpartum, look how amazing I look. And I'm like, okay. But just taking time to know what my body needs and not forcing it and not kicking up into a handstand just yet and doing that kind of strenuous work. So taking it again day by day, doing a lot of walking, which helps him to sleep and it helps me to stay a bit fit.
So I also found that walking, just getting outside your apartment and seeing other faces that are not, you know, it's really easy in new motherhood, whether you're in a house outside the city or you're in an apartment, it can start to feel very isolating, you know, just being in those four walls, looking out the window. I found walking, putting baby either on my body or in a stroller and just remembering there's a life and a culture still happening beyond my small world. And just be like, oh, good. Hi, let me talk to you. You're not my child and you're not the cat.
Yeah. No, it's been really good. And I was fortunate that he was born in July, so I can do that. I'm kind of dreading winter, what I'm going to do then, but we'll see.
Bundle. bundle and get out. But I'm glad that you did talk a little bit about the love-hate relationship with your body. I've been doing a few podcasts about body image, and I think that's a struggle that a lot of women face. You know, there's a lot of acceptance and celebration of the pregnant body. And then, as you mentioned, there's this very quick expectation to pop right back to where you were. And mm-hmm. your body, you know, your body has created a person and another organ, the placenta. And I'm so glad to hear that you recognize and honor the time that it's going to take to, I mean, there's never really a pre-pregnancy again because so much has changed, but you're not being too hard on yourself at the same time.
No, I mean, it's keeping everything in mind. Like, I don't even know if all my organs are back in the same place yet. And I just have to keep my inner voice in check. You know, when I look in the mirror and remind myself that it took 9 months to build this little baby and to get that body, and you're not going to get it back in 9 weeks. Mm-hmm. You know, some people are fortunate and they do, but
most don't. Well, what are some of the, or are some of the struggles that you face emotionally during new motherhood?
Well, I think at first it's with all the hormones that are changing, you get overwhelmed with emotion. You know, I was really grateful that someone told me when your milk comes in, your hormones are going to go haywire. You know, she said, I remember I was in the kitchen and my husband walked in and he found me on the floor just crying because of how much I loved him and my baby. She's like, yeah, when your milk comes in, it's a whole other story of hormones. So I was prepared for that. And you feel overwhelmed with love and you don't think that that's something that's, and it's not bad, but it is overwhelming. These feelings that are coming out of you for this little creature. And then the sleep deprivation doesn't help with the emotions. I think there are certain moments where you forget to remind yourself that this too shall pass, that you're like, I would like to just walk out of the house and find somewhere to sleep for 8 to 10 hours and not think about this anymore. You can't, you know, you have to just keep pushing on and going, but it's hard. It's not, I mean, maybe some people find it blissful right from the start, but I found it difficult. But again, being prepared with, you know, I was really scared about postpartum depression. So reading about that and letting my husband know the signs to look for made me feel safer in that sense. So I think every emotion that I experienced was quite normal. And I didn't really, you know, I think you can get it weeks and weeks after, but, knowing that people around you are aware of it as well, gives you a safe ground to feel all the emotions without getting worried. Mm-hmm. And I think it's really important to allow yourself to do that, not hold anything inside, because it's such an incredible journey physically and emotionally. Yeah.
Does anything stick out to you as your favorite aspects to motherhood?
Right now it's all the cuddles. you know, I don't know. Like, in what sense?
I don't know, I think one of the things, I'm just kind of going from my own experience, one of my favorite aspects, I guess it's the cuddles. It's just like the quiet time. I remember either strolling, pushing the stroller, mainly wearing, when I would wear my babies and walk around. It almost was like we were one again. And it felt like this special little bond I had that I got to hold this little baby so close and I could still be in the store, but yet just look down and kiss the top of the head. And it was just so yummy. That was actually one of my favorite parts of early motherhood, just kind of snuggling up and having, especially with Sage, so close. And I kind of miss that. I still find I can't stop kissing the top of her head. So are there any little things that you're just like, oh, it's so yummy?
I think after the initial struggles of breastfeeding, I love it now. Like, I love it. Oh, you're hungry? Amazing. Let's, you know, I love breastfeeding because it is this quiet, peaceful time where you are, you're helping them grow. You're their life source still. So you still feel very connected. And it was, I really, really enjoy breastfeeding and just all the little, they change so fast. I did not realize how fast babies grow and how quickly they change. It's incredible. So seeing the smile for the first time, seeing them look at you for the first time. I didn't realize how excited you could get about farts and poos and how fun getting peed on was. You know, it's just all these incredible moments that you just could have never imagined that would bring you joy. And I think I've never felt so much joy in my life. There's just so many moments every day amidst all the being tired and the struggles and, you know, oh, they won't stop screaming. But even then I've come to right now we're going through trying to get him to nap on his own. And I'm, you know, it's another yoga practice for me because I think at one point when I started, I was like, okay, well, I just need to get him to nap so I can do something else. And then I was like, you know what? I just need to get him to nap. So over the next 2 hours, that's all I'm doing. And he, you know, and the energy changes and he feels it. And you just give in to being that mother and not doing anything else. So, I'm all those little lessons as well, I think, that he's already teaching me, I'm loving.
Yeah, I always believe that our children are our best teachers, a reflection of things that we see in ourselves that we're like, oh, we need to change, or an opportunity to slow down and embrace. So yeah. Is there any last minute thing that you want, since you've talked so much about things that you wish someone had told you, is there any last minute thing you want to end with before we start to wrap up? Either just an experience you've had or just a lesson you've learned or nothing at all. I just wanted to give you this opportunity for whatever you want to say.
Well, I think what I just said, you know, you hear it all the time in yoga class, all the time in your life, be present, be in the moment, but do actually be present. You know, like I said, I didn't realize how fast they change, how fast they grow. He's only 9 weeks. And I feel like that first week, that's what I would say. I would say the first week you are bombarded with doctor's appointments and pressures to put weight on and pressures to, you know, learn how to feed them and learn this new cycle, that the week goes by so fast with all this pressure that you miss a little bit of that precious time that you have with them. And you know what? They're bigger the next week and they've changed already. So in all the pressure you feel in that first week, just remember to be present and to enjoy them because they grow so fast. I just can't believe it. And let that carry through. Because it's going to go away, you know, they're going to grow up really, really quickly and you'll miss all the cuddles and you'll miss the little noises, the little, probably the wake ups in the middle of the night too. So all of that. So just really, really focus on being present is what I would say.
That is so wonderful. Thank you so much for sharing your story and also being brave enough to say, you know, when things were hard, I think so much society, I think a lot of moms really get to the grit and be like, it's hard. But there's this image that motherhood always has to be perfect and happy and that we don't recognize their struggles. And yet then there's the other side of the happy. And I love what you're saying, embrace and slow down. So for our community that's listening, as soon as Chantal is ready, you guys might see her back at the studio teaching. I can't wait to have her back. She's a fabulous teacher. So I wanted to hi, little.
He made it through the whole interview. Now he's like, give me some food.
Now he's saying, I'm just going to let everyone know I'm here. So thank you for your time. Community members, you're going to see Chantal at the studio. And this one, just again, say thanks for sharing your story and being brave to to discuss. All right, we'll let you go because he's hungry. Okay. All right,
thanks,
be well.
Deb. Bye. All right.
Bye.
This has been an episode of Yoga Birth Babies, produced by Prenatal Yoga Center. You can catch us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and Periscope. I'm Deb Flaschenberg. Thanks for listening.